designed for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew. Loveline, coast to coast.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board-certified physician, addiction medicine specialist, and a legendary comedian, Tommy Chong. Of course, of Cheech and Chong fame. Comedy duo that almost everyone I know who's male, and half the females I know, was sort of weaned on.
Even the executives that program comedy?
No, not
them.
Not
that. Okay,
they were kept like veal in small cages and deprived of light and all levity. But every normal person I know who ironically doesn't work in comedy, big Cheech and Chong fans. And Tommy, that would include Tommy Chong, because he's one of the Chongs, you know.
Yeah.
Good to see you.
Well, it's nice to be here, yeah. And by the way, I'm an addiction specialist, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you keep your own business.
Yeah, well, it's, you know, I made it my life's work.
He's got to do his part.
Yeah.
Tommy is, and we got a little theme going, a little smoke-out theme going this week, if you haven't figured it out already, with Deem on Sunday and Snoop Dogg yesterday. Tommy's going to be presiding over the festivities at the Smokeout Festival, which is going on this weekend, this Saturday, at the Coliseum, 3 to 2,
yeah.
3 p.m. to 2 a.m. And now what are you going to be bringing out bands?
Bringing out bands and, you know, just killing time in between, you know, trying to keep the animals happy, you know, while they're waiting for the next round of noise, music and stuff. And I think we're going to do an intervention on Snoop. You know.
Oh, he stopped smoking pot.
Yeah, he did.
You're going to do an intervention on it.
Yeah, yeah.
A reinvention.
Doggy Dog and Dr. Drew was at your door.
Yeah, we're a little worried about the boys.
Yeah, it's been, I'd say it's the longest run he's ever put together if you count the time, you know, from if he started the clock at the time he started smoking.
Well,
he never put together 116 days.
I think you can start the clock when he started breathing.
Yeah, all right.
No, he was pretty straight. He was a church-going guy right up until
his puberty. 11th birthday.
Until puberty. Until he had his first.
He seems to have gone back to the church. His buddy.
Can see that.
What's the bishop?
The bishop, Don Magic Juan. Don Juan. Yeah, yeah, I'm not sure if he represents the church in an official capacity. Not in
cross,
that lime green LeMay suit he's wearing.
He said he was a... Yeah. He said he called himself bishop, and he had a big cross on his chest, and a miter on his pinky.
Let me say this.
Some
Drew.
Blinkies.
There's the blacks are out of control with the bishop and the reverend stuff.
Oh,
you
I
know,
see.
It's like at least 7/8 of them carry some sort of reverend title.
I see.
And after a while, it becomes the black that cried reverend. You know what I mean? It's like guy comes and tells you he's a minister, he's a reverend, and you're like, all right, yeah, you and every black guy.
As long as you're making money, I think that's the criteria.
That's the important part.
Yeah.
Now, Tommy, I you know, I hate to talk about myself on the show, because
yeah.
As you
oh,
know,
yes, you hate that, yes,
the
yeah.
show. But I remember last time I saw you, it was in a softball game.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah,
yeah.
You
playing center field, as I recall.
And my son hit this tremendous.
I mean,
could have been a home run.
First off, let's
could have been a home
let's,
run.
Let's give the son some kudos for.
He's sitting out there.
Oh, he's sitting out there.
He
I'm
hit
this close
that
to
hard.
Bringing him into the studio.
He hit that pretty hard.
I mean, he hit this thing that went into the night, and it was
gone.
It was gone.
It was gone.
I mean, it was like high and far. It wasn't like, oh, he got a little under it, and
but
oh,
we were,
it was a line drive.
Right. But we were heckling. We were heckling him pretty bad, so you went out and got it.
Well,
you caught it.
I mean, call it running out and get it. Remember, it's just a laid out backhand into the night.
It kind of looked like you were going to get something from your car and you just happened to be there.
I was heading out to my car. Yeah,
I want
to grab
you know,
some
Tommy,
smokes.
The last night, Adam,
no,
at least
it was
twice
the night before.
Said
night
to me,
before.
Be sure you bring up my catch with Tommy. Just bring it up. Just bring
it was amazing. Okay. It was amazing. I had to admit, it was amazing.
It was laid out and backhanded.
It was pretty.
It was pretty. Yeah, I've made some good softball catches.
You actually look like you probably went out for some semi-pro teams at one time.
Yeah, you see? Do you hear what Tommy's saying?
Yeah, I hear that he remembers his son hitting the ball, but he does not remember your catch.
Oh, no, he caught it. He caught it because I thought it was a home run, man.
It was drilled. Okay, I got to, but you did do good. Thank you, Tommy. So for that, you get another plug. Smoke out this weekend. And also, you can check out Tommy's website at www.tommychong.com. And you can look into his fine collection of glass bongs and...
Chong Glass. Right. ChongGlass.com.
Oh, it's a separate website.
Yeah.
And he's also having a
Yeah, it's an art exhibit because the bongs, they're not actually bongs. They're art pieces. Huh. I got the idea from the 70s show. Topher. I had one made up for Topher that said 70s show. And his friends went over and seen it, and he had flowers sticking in it. So he
didn't know what it was.
What a great idea. No, he knew exactly what it was, but, you know, the 70s shows, you know, none of the kids smoke on there. So he had flowers sticking in it. And I thought, what a great idea. It's a vase.
Yeah.
So that's what the art show is about. We're going to show vases and incense burners and then a lot of my carvings, that I make. Hand-carved tobacco pipes.
What do you carve? What kind of wood do you carve in?
All kinds, whatever I can find. Ebony, you know. I use ivory. They're expensive and they're very nice. And
where is the show?
Ghetto Gloss Gallery.
It's in Silver Lake.
Silver Lake, yeah.
Tobacco is the first weed, the first natural herb, the first natural herb that humans got their hands on.
Was it?
That's how the Indians. This was their natural herb. This was the thing they used for. Spiritual connection.
The American Indians.
Yeah, tobacco. And
tobacco was. Tobacco was the very first.
The first herb, yeah.
Yeah, they never got cannabis until...
But we don't think about it that way. We think about tobacco like, oh, tobacco, we got to stop that. But this one's good. This one's not good. This one's good.
Well, it never had the additives in it, though. It was just pure raw
tobacco.
Leaves. Yeah.
Yeah, then, the Virginia...
I heard something really interesting, too. The peace pipe... This is what Jack Herrera told me. The peace pipe was, the reason they used it, called it a peace pipe, is that you took a hit of this stuff and it knocked you out. So it made you so dizzy that you couldn't fight if you wanted to.
Tobacco can be either a stimulant or a depressant.
Yeah.
And they learned how to mix it and smoke it long and hard on a big draw. It gives it sort of its depressant quality.
And it knocked you out. It made you couldn't be violent if you wanted to. And that's why they called it a peace pipe, because before they would talk, they'd all take a hit of this tobacco, and they'd all be sitting there stoned and going, well, what are we fighting about anyway?
This is why, see, at this very same time, we were the round eye, the white skin, we were working on the internal combustion engine while they were experimenting with different strains of tobacco. This is what happened. This is the problem.
You guys were drinking.
We were inventing like wheels and stuff, too, where they were still dragging things behind the horse. All right. Let's talk to Joseph, who's 23. Joseph?
Hello.
What's up?
Not much. I want to say hi to Tommy Chong.
Hey, Joseph. How you doing, man?
Pretty good, man. How about you?
Good. I'm hanging.
My roommate wanted to say he's sparking one up for you right now, in your honor.
Oh, well, that's good to hear. I hope he's of age and not a basketball player.
Oh, he's definitely of age.
Oh, good.
Most definitely not a basketball player.
Oh, that's even better.
All right, Joseph, what's up?
I have a question. I had kind of an interesting experience last night. I went to one of those massage parlors, you know.
Where the ones where they go, you like me. You need oil?
Yeah.
Was it like,
those,
I mean, like a full release place?
Well, that's what you call it.
Yeah, a happy release.
Are the Asian ones the only ones that refer to as a happy release or a full release?
They're all Asian.
But I mean, are there massage parlors that have non-Asian personnel?
Up north. But they cost too much.
And what do they call
you
it?
Stick with the Asians.
They just call it blowjob.
I don't know. I mean, I'm not a real connoisseur of these places. I know it's mainly Asian and it's mainly, happy release. But, Joseph, is that where you went?
Yes, it was definitely Asian.
And it was definitely happy release?
Well, that's what I anticipated going in there, but I got something much different at the end of the session. You kind of pay for I guess they offer you two options. It's like 30 minutes or an hour, and I got the 30-minute package for $40. And And I just expected, like, a quick, you know, handy or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, quick release. And I got a whole different offer at the end of it. So, I mean, my concern is about STD.
Okay, Joseph, you keep talking in code. We don't understand Joseph's code.
I don't know. What did they give you at the end, you goofball? You got to dig that out of you?
When they finally finished with the massage, the woman came up, and I was laying on my stomach, and I turn around and look at her, and she's topless. And she tells me, she says, do you want the special? And the special is $140, which includes full, and she said, sex.
Right.
So I reach for my credit card and give her the credit card. She goes and runs it. I know, I'm stupid. But
no, that's not dumb.
Well, you're in a vulnerable position. So.
Yeah. Where'd you keep the credit card, by the way? Is it?
Well, they're in my pants on the chair.
I said, reach for the credit card.
This isn't the Visa brand.
It was an awkward moment.
So. Okay.
So you go. She runs the credit card and came back completely naked, and everything happened, and now I'm kind of freaked out about, you know, what I could get from this. I mean, she used a condom. But
she used a condom.
That's good.
All right. And I'm sure she's never done this kind of thing before.
Oh, yeah. She's probably a newbie. Yeah.
Yeah. But she's a good girl. She was attracted to you. All right. So you used a condom, so that's all right, right?
I hope so. I mean, that's what I'm calling to ask Drew about.
Well, obviously, the condom is not a perfect barrier against STDs.
But it's pretty good.
It's pretty good. And things like herpes you have to worry about. Less so the viral things like hepatitis C and AIDS, gonorrhea, chlamydia. You're probably protected against those things.
Is the price of the condom included, or do they tack that on, like materials?
I think it was all inclusive.
Okay. And do they talk to you while you're doing it?
She didn't speak much English.
Good, so. Good. So I don't need that kind of pressure. Come on, big boy. Come on. Like, you know that sort of when they do it in the porn movies every once in a while when they try to sort of crack the verbal whip on your nuts, and it would backfire if it was. I thought, like, honey, every syllable you add 5 minutes. You want to keep going? So we're already into noon tomorrow. I just want. Yeah.
There's a kicker to it.
There's more? What?
Well, I mean, this is will probably get me into the Loveline caller's hall of stupidity, but the credit card that I gave her is the one that my parents get the bill for.
Oh, good times.
Uh-huh. But they have to have discreet billing, don't they? I mean, it can't say, you know, sucky effy on it. It's gonna say, like, services, personal services or something like that. You can tell them it was, like, the chiropractor sent you there. They're stupid.
I hope so.
Well, your parents, you understand, your parents think you're a good guy.
Parents do not want to believe this. Yeah, my parents do, but...
My parents would want to believe the worst, but your parents think you're a decent guy, right?
Yeah, but, I mean, the name of this place is not exactly, I mean, discreet.
All right. Is there a punchline coming here?
Is this bogus? No. You got a punchline?
No, I mean, I don't want to say the name of the
place. All right.
Well, they're not going to put it on the credit card is the point.
You're 23. Why is the credit card bill going to your folks?
Well, it's for school expenses and stuff.
And you don't know the difference between the credit card that goes to them? Like, I'd have that spray-painted Caltrans orange.
I know. But he was in the moment. You know?
He was in a very vulnerable position. He was just reaching for anything.
He's 21, 22. Here it is.
Wow.
Yeah, just finished. Yeah, that's good. Here.
You know, you think about the money that is made from the time the guy has the erection to the time something comes out of the penis. That is the golden window. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, whether it's, I mean, and if you can, the longer you can string that out, the more money you're going to make.
The green window.
If you're
the golden ones for the honey.
If you're at a strip club, if you can keep that thing going for 4 or 5 hours, that's you know, $3,000. Do you know what I mean? Like, if that window opens and closes in a minute and a half, you got $15.
Oh, yeah.
But if you can keep that, you know, and
so once again, that the premature ejaculators have a sort of evolutionary advantage.
Yes.
Not only could they impregnate in the days when we were in the wild more rapidly and efficiently, but now they save more money.
They're thrifty.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, it's equivalent to you going in to make a deal, like, on a car and you being kind of drunk.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? You're so vulnerable. It's as if you'd, like, you're making a deal on a car and you walked the last 10 miles to the dealership, and it's like, well, if we don't make this deal tonight, I guess you'll be walking home, Mr. Chung. And you're like, I got to get behind the wheel of something, man. I got to get into something. I don't care if it costs a little extra.
There's that time when you sign or say or do anything, just
You get a boner going for 45 minutes.
Well,
straight.
All the blood's drained out of your head.
Right. You're not thinking right. I mean, you're very vulnerable. That's why they talk about it then. Because if you're walking in there and you're dork's dangling and stuck to your leg and you got other things on your mind and like $140 for, you're like, please, I'm out of here. I'll go beat myself up. I'll get $100 worth of porn and $40 worth of Colt 45 and I'll be way ahead of the game, way ahead. All right, let's talk to Martha, who's 19. Martha?
Yeah.
What's up?
Well, I kind of have this problem, like addiction, that I like to have sex in weird places, mm-hmm. like just random places in public, whether it's anywhere, you know, and like everywhere I go, like I think about it. Like,
do you have a boyfriend?
Huh?
Do you have a boyfriend?
Yeah, I do.
So when you're with him in public places or even when you're not with him?
Well, when I'm not with him, I just think, well, this would be a good place, but, you know, he's not with me.
Okay. But you don't do anything with anyone else, anything like that?
Not so much.
What have you done with other people?
Well, like, one time I was with my friends at the bowling alley, and, like, just one of my guy friends were there, but we didn't, like, do anything. We just, like, made out in the bathroom, but...
Yeah, just kissed?
Yeah. Well, because they all know my boyfriend, so I didn't want them to tell him.
Hmm. Yeah, that sounds kind of risky. A bunch of guys who are friends with your boyfriend, you go in the bathroom with one of them?
Are you loaded when you're doing this?
It depends.
What drugs are you using?
Huh?
Just alcohol?
Yeah, either that. Let me
ask a bowling question. If you beat a guy off, but you got the wrist brace on, is that cheating?
It's a spare.
That is cheating.
I could make that. If they kept the brace on, I could make a pretty good argument for myself. She was all talked up. She had the wrist brace on. Come on. That ain't cheating. Well, Martha, it's like a peck on the cheek.
This is, alcoholics behave like this. So I'm going to bet that your dad was an alcoholic or your mom. Right?
No, my dad used to be, but okay.
There is no such thing as used to be an alcoholic. Having an alcoholic father leaves an imprint on you, and he will always be alcoholic, whether he's drinking or not. And that gene seems to have been passed along to you, and that's why all this thrill-seeking, that's why it's escalated when you're drinking.
What about after you die? After you die, you're still an alcoholic?
Yeah. It's on your tombstone.
I don't know. My dad wasn't an alcoholic, and I always think of having sex in weird places.
But you're a guy. You're a guy.
Does that make a difference?
It does make a difference. It does. And here's Martha's thing is, here's what really sort of cinches it. Were you sort of fondled or sexually mishandled or something when you were growing up?
No, never.
Nothing like that happened or physically abused?
Uh-uh.
No one ever hit you?
Uh-uh.
So your dad was just an alcoholic, but it never really manifested itself in any behavior that was detrimental to you?
He was like, I was really, 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 really little when he stopped, so it wasn't.
Do you remember it?
Are you into gymnastics?
No.
Because I've done a little sort of a weird study with the porn girls, and a lot of them started off in gymnastics.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
In, like, dance class and stuff
no,
like that?
No, pure gymnastics.
Pure gymnastics.
And tumbling and stuff like that,
Interesting.
Gotta start hanging out at the Y.
Exactly. But, Martha, this is, I mean, it's no accident I was asking about alcohol and alcoholism, and I knew that genetic history was there, because this is alcoholic biology operating.
Uh-huh.
Because how it manifests in some people. And sexual thrill and thrill-seeking in sexuality and extreme sexual behaviors with alcohol, with a family history of alcoholism, is sort of part of the syndrome of addiction sometimes.
And most of the time, like, I don't drink when it happens.
I understand, but just trust me. This is something in evolution. It's going to get worse. It will begin to create more and more consequence.
Well, it's not about being drunk when you're doing it.
No.
It's about that sort of general thrill-seeking.
It's the thrill-seeking.
And bad decision-making.
But the alcohol will heat it all up. When she doesn't drink, it will get worse.
All right, so listen, you want to screw around with your boyfriend wherever, fine, but the boyfriend's friends is where you're going to get into trouble. Brendan?
Yeah?
You're 14?
Yep.
What's up?
Well, first of all, I want to say that, like, Tommy, like, your videos are awesome.
Thank you.
Dr. Drew?
Brendan?
Yeah?
Yeah, what's up?
Yeah, you're like, really good at what you do.
Thank you.
Adam, you're, like, my idol.
Right.
Like, you think I'm kidding?
No, well, I see you heaping praise on everybody, so it doesn't mean quite as much. Well,
here's what he needs to know, Brendan. Is what do you have written on your shoes?
Yeah, is my name on your tennis shoe?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. You betcha.
It's
Shucky Brendan.
It's like a politician. That's good. Yeah. All right, so Brendan, what is it?
Well, I think my mom might be addicted to Vicodin. Because she had a facelift about 2 months ago, right? And she's been taking Vicodin to, like, help the pain or whatever. And I've kind of been finding, like, pills around the house, and she just, she's better from her facelift, but she just seems, like, just a little bit more dozier than usual.
So she's not herself, and you still find the Vicodin pills around and stuff.
I don't know if it's Vicodin pills or what, but...
Is your dad around?
Well, he travels a lot. Like, he's in the oil business.
Yeah, but can you talk? Can you get him on the phone and talk to him about this?
Yeah, but I just really, I kind of found the pills yesterday.
But, Brandon, you just bring it up. You can't talk like that with your dad? You couldn't tell him? I'm worried about Mom. She's not herself. Found these pills all over the place.
Yeah, I probably can. But I don't, what do you think? I just talk to my dad?
I do. It really is more his thing. You shouldn't have to be, you're not the parent. You're the kid. And you should expect to have the parents do their job, and your dad has to do his job here.
Where's my bourbon?
Right. Right now, he's in Detroit burning down a plant that was going to make alternative fuel vehicles. But when he's back on Monday, after he's done lobbying Congress about why we need more fossil fuel and why electric cars aren't going to work, then he can have that conversation with him.
Would you want to talk to your mom directly?
I don't know.
No, I don't think that's your job.
Yeah.
Do you have a relationship with her doctor?
No, yeah, we don't really
dating.
Have like.
They're
that.
Dating.
I don't know.
He's 14.
I don't know.
He's good pals with a plastic
worth
surgeon.
Asking. Worth asking.
Horrible question.
Talk to your dad, Brendan. All right.
Take it back.
I take it back.
Okay.
Adam says it's a horrible question.
Tommy, we don't do enough of that in society anymore. I remember every third TV show is like, you take that back, Vince.
Yes.
Take it back. No one tells anyone to take anything back anymore.
Not anymore.
Once you call someone an a-hole, you pretty much meant it the first time. Yeah. You regurgitating the a-hole lines doesn't take any sting out of it.
That's a pretty wise little guy, though, isn't he?
Yeah, amazing.
Yeah.
But when kids are parentalized, which is not good, they seem so mature and with it, but that's not good for them.
No.
All right, but I say talk, especially if mom's out of it. Wait till Dad gets back.
Just get Dad on the phone and say, look, Mom's responsible for Brendan right now. You know what I'm saying? That's not good.
Right. All right. Tommy Chong in here tonight. Going to be at the Smokeout this Saturday. Oh, got art exhibits and websites.
And I got a beautiful daughter that's having a show. She's out here, Precious. She's having a one-woman show tomorrow. At the Zephyr Theater. You know the Zephyr Theater?
Yes, I do know where the Zephyr Theater is. On Melrose?
On Melrose, just east of Fairfax.
Right.
And it's a one-woman show. She's been there. She's going to be there. The show's been extended, so she's going to be there all of December, every Wednesday.
Yeah, it's like sort of across the street from
you. Got to check it out. She's my youngest daughter.
Well, I'll tell you what, we're pressed for time. Why don't you just do the show for us during the commercial here in the hallway?
She's here right now.
Yeah. Precious, crank it up out there in the hall. See if you can, what is it, an hour-long show?
Yeah.
If we can get it down about 350, 355. Anderson may play a couple drops coming back. Let's see if we can't catch that show. All right, we'll be back after this. It's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. Dr. Drew had an emergency call. He's calling the hospital right now, and he should be in here momentarily. Tommy Chong is in the studio tonight.
Yeah.
Tommy, of course, of Cheech and Chong fame and many, many, many other endeavors. One of them is going to be the Smokeout this Saturday over at the Coliseum, 3 p.m. to 2 a.m. And let's see, going to be on the cover of Guitar One magazine next month. Has a gallery showing?
Yeah, this month. It's on.
Oh, this month.
Yeah, it's on.
All
right.
Has the exhibit coming out in the Silver Lake Gallery, which is going on Is that Thursday? This Thursday?
Yeah, Thursday is going to be the big, big opening.
And if you want any of this information, go to www.tommychong.com.
Yeah, it should be on there.
Drew, how's that going over there? 2 minutes. 2 minutes, really? It's a long time in radio.
He's trying to find out the name of the massage parlor.
All right. Painful erection that will not go away.
Special surprise.
Drew is, like I said, talking to a patient or something on the phone, so we'll just forge ahead without him.
He's
Gina?
He's a doctor of what?
Hello?
I don't even know. I think he's a doctor like Dr. John or Dr. J. I'm not sure if he's really a natural medical physician.
Oh, he's back. Shh.
Is it all right? Yeah. All right. Good times. Gina?
Yeah.
16?
Yeah.
What's up?
I just want to say hi to you guys, and Tommy, you're hilarious.
Thank you. Thank you, Gina.
And, okay, I have a question.
Let me ask you this, Gina.
What?
Okay, now let me ask you this.
Okay, go.
Like, when I was in junior high, that's when all the Cheech and Chong movies were coming out.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, everyone in the junior high saw them, and then, you know, into high school, it was all that sort of Cheech and Chong era, and that, and selling all the albums and everything. But now someone like you, you were in junior high and in high school in, like, 1995?
She was an ovum when the stuff was actually.
Right, right. You weren't even born. Yeah. Do you go back and see these movies?
Hilarious.
You see them on cable? Do you rent them?
Yeah, all the time. My dad, it's all because
of dad. There we go.
Dad.
Okay, there we go.
I'm in love with you guys.
There we go. Okay, that makes sense.
All right, so what's up?
Okay.
Boom, focus.
Like about January.
Oh, there you go.
In January, I met this guy who's, like, now my, like, bestest friend in the world. And when I met him, I didn't really think, and I just told him that I was 17 at that time.
Were you?
Huh? No.
Yeah. How old were you?
I was, like, 15.
All right. Mm-hmm.
And, like, it's been so long, and, like, we're, like, the best of friends, and, like, over time, I've been, like, slowly falling in love with him, and I've told him once before, and then I got scared, and so we just decided not to, you know, try it, you know what I mean?
Is he 23 now?
No!
All right, okay.
Wait, what, why no? You said he was 19, you were 15.
No! No, he was 18, and...
You're 15.
At the time, he was 18, and... I was 15.
So he's 22 now.
No, now he's 19.
No, did he lie?
No.
No, hold on a second.
She's 16
Drew,
now.
She's not very good at math. It's 16. It's where
it says she's 18.
Oh.
Okay.
All right. She said she was 18.
Yeah. I don't read that far down the calls.
I see.
All right. So anyway, Gina.
So now it's a year later. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And I'm in love with him, and he just, he recently told me that he got back with his ex-girlfriend.
Whoa.
And that he thinks that she might be pregnant. He told me this, like, a week ago.
Guy, Gina, just the reality is there's a reason when somebody is your friend.
Especially guys who are sort of freewheeling like this guy.
Yeah.
And they start giving you information like, yeah, I'm back together with my ex, and I think she may be pregnant.
But.
Yeah.
Okay, well, there's more.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and today he just called me up, and he was, like, all, like, upset, and because he told me his girlfriend took off to Oregon because she had to go to a funeral for her aunt, and he just called me and told me he thinks that she's cheating on him.
Yeah.
Because every time she calls, she has to go real quick, and that he has another...
So he needs to get back at her by sleeping with you?
No, we're not. I'm not like that.
Yeah, but he is.
Well, that's... him, but I'm just like, should I tell him how I feel about him?
No.
You
see, we know, I'll tell you why, because...
We know who this guy is. That's why.
This guy, here's the only chance that this guy would not be interested in you is if he was very sort of bookwormish and sort of nebbish and he couldn't make a move. But here's a guy who does not have difficulty making a move. He's had other girlfriends. He's getting back with ex ones. He's knocking them up.
And not only that, he's moving at this one in response to a sort of a retribution to another one.
Yes.
He's calling this one going, I'm mad at my girlfriend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, if he was into you, Gina, he would have made his move a long time ago.
So if he makes a move now, it's not going to be because he likes you. It's not going to be because he wants you to be a girlfriend. It's going to be because he wants to get back at his girlfriend. At his girlfriend. Yeah. Using you, and that's not what you want. It's not going to work.
He's not making a move on me.
Yeah, that's
our point.
No, doesn't sound like it's your point, Jerome.
Gina, he is making a move.
Best friend just telling me his problem.
That's a move. You're falling in love with him, so he's making a move.
He's manipulated a little bit. But fine, if he's just your best friend, then stop thinking about him in any other way. That's fine.
I'm saying even if he's not making a move, even worse.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been a couple of years and he hasn't done anything.
Well, he has before.
What have you done with him?
Nothing. Well, we've tried to sort of, be in a relationship together. Because I had told him, about a month ago that I was in love with him.
And what did he say?
And he was like, do you want to try it and see what happens? See if we can stick to this. But, 5 days after we were trying it, he was, all weird. He wouldn't call me as much.
Yeah,
he wouldn't
talk
about certain things.
Gina, it's just not into you.
What are you doing?
When 18, 19-year-old guys are into a girl, they're you know it.
White on rice. They are with you. They're on it.
He's not into you.
Okay.
But here's the thing. I think we need to bring up, we haven't done it in a while, which is there was a point in time in all of our lives when we figured, honey, it's okay if you're not into me because I'm into you enough for the both of us.
Yeah, or I'll convert you.
Yeah, I'm into you so much that even if you're into me 30%, I'm into you 170. So that even, now we're 200, it's fine.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't work that way.
No, that Gina's in massive denial.
Yeah.
She won't even connect with reality.
No, she's
going to her own.
She needs to find a guy who's into her.
She's not letting this one go, though.
And it erodes your self-esteem to keep going after somebody and wasting years going after somebody and having the unrequited love syndrome. Nick?
Hi.
You're 14?
Yeah.
Let's make a clearer statement, Jay. He is not and will not.
There you go. That's right. Thank you, Dr. Seuss. Go ahead, Nick.
I just wanted to know
in
if
a car,
the fishy smell
a
was a sign of gonorrhea.
Fishy smell?
Yeah.
Is it coming from a fish?
No.
Okay, because it's important to make that distinction. Fishy smell coming from a fish? Totally normal. Fishy smell coming from a girl? Gonorrhea, possibly.
His whole room yesterday.
That's right.
Fishy smell coming from Snoop and Bishop.
Yeah. Well, they were eating a lot of fish.
They were eating fried catfish. Nick, no, usually a malodor is, there is a smell sometimes associated with some bacterial STDs, but a bad odor is usually just a vaginitis, usually a trichomonas or Haemophilus, Gardnerella.
What do you got going, Nick? You have a girlfriend?
No.
No, of course not. No, come on. You can tell them.
You're just planning?
Yeah.
So it's like...
He's gay.
You're not going to get a car for another 5 years, but you want to know the tire pressure.
Yeah, why not?
And how often to change the oil. You want to get all lined out before that baby hits your driveway in 2009. All right, Nick. Well, don't worry about it.
Brings back memories.
Yeah. It brought me back to 14. Remember that everything was in the planning phases?
Yeah.
It's like, well, I am going to have my learner's permit in 17 months. Okay, I'll be 15 and two-thirds at that point. Now, at that point, I start saving now, and I get the moped.
Think about it. It's really it's like Papillon. It's like you're going to make it's the great escape.
Yeah, because there's two things you're trying to plan from 14 on as a guy. How am I going to get out of this house, and who am I going to bang once I get out of the house?
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Those are your two main objectives. And the planning starts about when the first pube pops, about 13 and a half. And that leaves you, but you got plenty of time. At least you kids got the internet. We had nothing. Black and white Zenith in a raft box with a chick in a bikini on it to stare at. What was it?
Or dirty flashcards.
You have that? Tommy, literally, if you got a hold of nudie playing cards or something, that was a score, right?
My cousin had a whole collection.
You put them in a safe.
Right? Nude magazines with the pubic hair all blocked out, you know.
Right, they're putting stars over the nipples
and
stuff.
Well, not even that. It was just, blanked out, you know, the photo thing.
Right.
Yeah, you'd never seen it, but it still worked, you know.
Yeah, well, that's the amazing thing.
In fact, now Tommy needs that. Black card held out.
This is like your favorite teacher. You know, that always works.
Honey, put on the black bar underpants for me. Come on with the questions. Just put them on.
Or if you see the bra strap, that's all you need. Oh, God, you seen her bra strap. Ooh.
Oh, I mean, imagine the work we could have done with just a Victoria's Secret catalog when we were 14.
Are you kidding?
Would have been a score.
Didn't he have a piece of bark or something?
Yeah, I used to line my back and look at the sky and wait till the clouds took on the shape of a boob.
Look, the Lascaux caves were, like, impressive.
Look at her. Part of her loincloth's come off. All right, let's take a little break. Tommy Chong in here tonight, going to be presiding over the smokeout this Saturday at the Coliseum. Yeah. And we'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Legendary Tommy Chong is in here tonight, of Cheech and Chong fame, of course, and also of countless movies and television appearances and music and art. A real Renaissance man.
Well, I got a lot of kids I got to support.
How many kids do you have?
Well, I got 5 that I know of.
And
a grandson in Brown University.
Man. Wow.
Yeah.
Drew's impressed.
Yeah. Radon's a boy.
You know, Radon was on this show like 15 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
Something.
What's she doing now? Is she acting? Is she momming?
She's producing movies, and she is in the middle of producing the new Cheech and Chong comeback special.
Retro. Oh, really?
Yeah.
A feature movie?
Feature movie, yeah. She wrote.
Is Cheech and Chong going to be in it?
Cheech and Chong is going to be the reunion movie.
Wow.
Yeah.
When's that coming out?
Well, we're right in the middle of the deal-making phase.
This next call sort of applies to this question.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's do it then. Kevin?
Yeah.
You're 16?
Yep.
What's the matter?
Huh?
Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, my question is for Chong.
Yeah.
I was going to ask, why aren't you and Cheech doing movies anymore, but you said that comeback special thing?
Yeah, well, it's a project that my daughter, she wrote a script, and then she gave it to me, and I read it, and I loved it. It's really good. And then she gave it to Cheech, and Cheech said, hey, this is workable. And then they took it to some, it's in the mill now. And so we'll know in a week or so who's going to have it. But it's going to be a good one.
Is it going to, like, have pot smoking in it?
No. Not a Cheech and Chong film.
There's a good outside chance that there's going to be a little bit of pot in there. Yeah, it's going to be like Up in Smoke 2. You know, we're just going to take off right where we left off 20 years ago. Yeah,
you wake up and you're...
Yeah. It's right there. There's no transition. We're just 20 years later. You know, there we are.
And is Cheech... Now, Cheech has not wanted to do, like, the pot stuff and the reunion stuff over the last few years.
Well,
right?
The money wasn't... the money's there. I mean, there's some big money, and you know.
So this wasn't... He was going to do...
Well, he was busy, and wasn't... The time wasn't right, you know.
Right.
It just wasn't right, and now it's right. You know, with the Stones, with Eminem's movie, Jackass movie, all those... You know, everything is just pointing in that direction.
Yeah, you know what's weird is stuff comes out, and then a certain period of time goes by.
Yeah.
But there's sort of like this period... That's a minimum period of time that must pass before you can do this sort of retro thing.
It's 20
years. If you try to rush it, if you try to do it in year 12, it pisses everyone off.
American Graffiti was 20 years after that stuff actually happened.
Right. Yeah, you mean after the 50s?
Yeah, it was 54. It came out in 74.
That's right.
But, you know, it's interesting.
But I mean even coming out with... I mean, that was after an era you're talking about. But I just mean even coming out... You know, bands and things like that, movies, Cheech and Chong. It's like you try to rush it, gets weird. It's like paint that hasn't dried yet or something. You end up mucking it up.
It's all timing.
You have to have a new generation who sees it through new eyes.
That's right.
But it's interesting. What I think would be funny is Tommy inspired in us a discussion about the 70s and how different it was and prices were different. You know, if they wake up 30 years later,
and are seeing plasma screens on the internet. And,
we haven't changed, but the world has changed.
You'd see it through the 70s point of view. It would be very interesting.
Oh, my God.
It's going to be fun. It's going to be a real good movie.
It'd be the Adam Carolla story, then, wouldn't it?
And Cheech is done doing, what's that, Don
Nash
Johnson?
Bridges.
Nash Bridge.
That show was ended a few years ago.
Mercifully, yeah. I say, mercifully. You know what always bothered me about that show is they would use the actors' real names in the promos. Find out what Cheech and Don Johnson are up to this week. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, wait, that's Nash. That's not Don Johnson.
I know.
Like, it's distracting when they start talking about, when they start using the actors' names in a drama.
Yeah.
It's like, what is it? Is he a cop working the Bay Area beat, or is it Don Johnson? He's married to this chick, and he's living over here, and he's a producer. Which is it? That's all I'm saying.
They'll do anything to get a crowd.
Man, it angers me. Anthony?
Yeah.
You're 14?
Yep. I wanted to consult you about masturbating with about anything, you know, like, every time I'm desperate, you know, I'll do it with shampoo, but it leaves a film over my dork, you know?
No, bogus, because shampoo is painful.
It
ends up with this film. Oh, I mean, yeah, it's excruciatingly painful. Now, you can't beat off with shampoo. We've all made that mistake.
Conditioner, that's a different thing.
I thought that was what it was for. Where else would you put conditioner? On your head?
Dude, what are you talking about?
Seriously, what do you do with conditioner? Because I always see it in the shower, and I just figure, you know, when I was in high school, my stepmom, you know, it was a little tip of the hat. I didn't know what, it was.
Just trying to save soap.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I hate conditioner, man. It makes my hair go all weird.
Yeah. Well, you got a lot of hair.
Well, you got to comb it the right way now. You know, when you get a certain age, you know.
Drew, what is this? You know, I'm looking at my hair. I'm thinking my hair's thinning out on the top here.
Nice.
Too.
Good time.
Right here, you know.
Yeah.
Not in the back, but just right in the front.
That's
here.
That's gonna look nice. A little horseshoe up there.
If you put the light, you know, see this light's above my head.
Yeah.
Put it. If you put something over the light, doesn't really show.
Oh no, yeah. When you look, yeah.
But well, watch. See, if I do that.
Oh, if you look, yeah.
Well, if I block the light, you still see it.
Yeah.
You got gray hair, man.
Oh, you son of a bitch.
How old are you?
Seriously, 38.
Oh, you got another year anyway.
Hey, how you doing?
That's what I'm saying.
Your hair?
I got.
So what do you say?
What do I take? What do I do with this thing?
You take a swallow of your pride and you get on with your life.
No, because I can't do that thing like what you do. I can't comb the bang forward or do any of that stuff.
You get
that
hair club for men.
That's what I got to do. My hair's been like this since I was 21.
Well, pull your hair back. Let me see what.
Just forever since I was 21.
You can be the president, but you can also be a customer, too.
I don't thin.
Your hair comes forward, though.
Yeah.
See, if your hair was pulled back like mine is, I can't.
Well, you're getting the horseshoe going up there.
What do you mean, this one?
Yeah. You're going to lose that whole little ring up there.
I know, so what do I do? I got to do something.
Wait for a surgery.
I've never seen Adam ask for help. I'm like, intrigued. You're asking for assistance? Is that...
We got to deal with this during the break.
Rogaine and Propecia.
Just take Propecia. The hair. That's what I need.
Why not Rogaine?
Take the hair off your chest and put it on your head.
Well, I got ass hair I'm willing to part with.
Propecia, though, I've had sexual dysfunction. People complain of that pretty frequently.
What goes
Propecia.
On?
It blocks testosterone. You know?
They can't get an erection?
Yeah.
And what happens if you mix it with Viagra? Sort of evens it up.
All
right. Well, give me both those, Jerome. Give me the big fun size back too. I don't want to have to come back to you every 6 months.
No, they got this great surgery now that you can do.
Yes, to get the scalp stretched out.
Yeah. All right, I'll do that.
Take a little patch.
It'll be a write off. I'm a big celebrity. Mercedes.
Yes.
You're 27.
Yes.
What's up?
I have been a good girl for the last 7 months.
Are you high?
No.
You're drunk?
No.
You're something.
So tell us what before the 7 months, what was happening?
Well, I used to get high and get drunk, but I met this really nice guy. He worked at a muffin shop.
What kind of shop?
Muffler.
Muffler?
Shop.
Muffin shop.
Muffin.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. I tried to do the right thing and just serve coffee, all that other good
stuff. Hey, Mercedes, you're going to have to set it up for us a little bit. What's wrong with talking to or dating a guy? Why would that be a wrong thing?
Because I found a guy that was hella cool, and I put my number in his bag. He called me. I tried to do the right thing as opposed
to... here's Mercedes thing. Hey, it's me, and you know my life story.
Yeah, Mercedes.
We don't know anything about you, Mercedes. So what's wrong with being giving a guy your number?
Okay. Well, I just like to date men.
All right. What's wrong with that?
So I always dated all the men I ever could date, and I settled for one.
Oh, man. All right. Well, I have some really clearly formed thoughts on this problem now.
Okay, so I settled for one for the last 5 months, and he has jerked me around like a...
Like a mother effer. And Mercedes, hold on a second. We got to take a break.
We're going to need like a protractor for this one.
you're gonna have to turn the TV or the radio down in the background, too, okay? Yes?
Yes.
Okay. She really should be...
High.
If she's not high or drunk now, she really needs to be, or I'm going to have to go get high.
Yes.
Tommy, what do you got, like a hay bale of weed in the trunk of your SUV? Let's go out there.
I got some homegrown.
Let's do something, because I can't cope.
I know.
I need to cope, and I can't cope.
I mean, a real good girl for 7 months.
Tommy Chong in the studio tonight. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Tommy Chong in the studio tonight. Of course, of Cheech and Chong and many other endeavors. And got the smokeout coming up this Saturday. And speaking of the smokeout, Cypress Hill is going to be in here tomorrow night. And then Everlast is going to be in here on Thursday night. So
You guys are going to get quite a contact high.
Yes.
All of us in there.
Yeah.
If Bobo and B-Real are here together.
That's it.
I mean, what are
you
going to do?
And you have to be sick, too bad.
What are you going
to
do?
You're going to miss out on all the good stuff.
And Tommy Tommy's a guitar guy, and I always remember in the Cheech and Chong movies, Tommy playing and playing songs on the Cheech and Chong albums and whatnot. But I could never figure out whether it was sort of, you seem to know what you're doing, but I don't know enough about guitars to know if it was sort of novelty guitar playing or musician.
I can play, but everything that was done on the record, that was done with professional musicians.
Oh, it was?
Yeah. Lukather from Toto.
Oh, really?
He played that great one in Next movie, you know, the great guitar solo.
And what about, like in the movies and the scenes where you were playing the guitar?
No, it was just dubbed.
Really?
Yeah, just faking it.
Looked good.
But I know how to play, you know. I mean, I can play. I mean, you know, it kind of disappoints some of the fans, you know.
Why'd you tell
us? George Harrison played on Basketball Jones, you know. So I do Basketball Jones, I don't want to play it exactly like George does, you know.
Sure, yeah. But you've been playing for...
Forever.
Forever.
I've been playing longer than Mick Jagger.
And it's that kind of half-hearted commitment that got him on the cover of... the Guitar One magazine.
And we're not exactly on the cover. We're in the fold-out inside cover.
That's the cover. No one cares what side of the cover you're on.
Yeah. It's okay. And they put me right next to Cheech, so it looks pretty funny.
Mercedes?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so now you've turned the radio down and the TV. And you're... Now, what drugs did you used to be on?
I used to smoke a lot of weed when I was like 19 to 21.
You're not drinking anymore?
No.
None?
I'm a bartender.
Oh. So
you have to have a certain baseline consumption.
A little social.
What did you drink tonight?
Nothing. Being beyond the bar keeps me from drinking.
Are you on any medication?
Medication, yes.
No.
I hear a little medication.
No speed or anything like that?
No.
Anna Nicole, is that you?
I just have a cold.
You have a cold.
You're taking cold medicine?
Oh, yeah.
I'm taking, cough suppressant and some sinus medication.
What cough suppressant are you taking?
I don't know.
With codeine?
Your local, no. I can't take anything that makes me sleepy, so.
Okay. So now your question is, and you stated earlier that you date all kinds of guys, and you met a guy at the muffin shop.
You gave your number, and you gave him your number, and you dated him. What's the problem?
Okay, my problem is We've been dating for about 7 months. It's the first time I've ever been serious, honest, and not seeing someone else. I was dating someone.
Right. So you're a cheater.
You're serious.
Yeah, you're not cheating on this guy.
All right. Right?
Yeah.
And
what's the problem?
He tells me, I really like you. I want to be with you. But I'm seeing someone else, but I'm not intimate with them.
So he has another, somebody else on the side?
Yeah, with two kids.
Ooh, his wife?
Well, his wife has four of his kids.
All right.
So he has a wife and a girlfriend and you?
No, his wife lives in Pennsylvania.
All right.
They've been separated for 2 years. Mm-hmm. He has a girlfriend, but didn't tell me about this one with kids. He told me he saw two other women.
Oh, boy.
So I was the only one in the last 6 months.
All right, so he's an idiot, right? He's an idiot.
Well, I don't know, because you know what? He's the nicest guy in the whole world. I've never trusted someone.
Hey, listen, Jeffrey Dahmer was a nice guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
still is by many accounts.
We were three, four dates a week. And
haven't you seen those interviews with the neighbors? He was the nicest boy. He was always so pleasant.
Kept to himself.
But you know what? I cleaned his house the other day, and I found pictures on his refrigerator with him and another woman, and then with her and her two kids.
You know, Mercedes, here's how your life would go better if you sobered up. If you get some 12-step going, get a little connection with some people that really cared about you. And get a little clarity going. And then magically, I think things would start going better in your life. You would not put up with crap like this.
Did he know you were going to clean this house?
Yeah.
And he left the pictures of the...
On his refrigerator.
That's pretty asshole-ish.
It's a little bit of a message he was sending you, right?
Well, they weren't on the refrigerator. They were on top of...
Mm-hmm.
I did his laundry, put his...
Where are we going?
Right. Well, no, everyone knows that you keep your hamper on top of your refrigerator. And I did the math on that one.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, so Mercedes.
Bad guy.
Bad guy. You should not date him anymore.
For God's sake, stay away from muffin shops.
And get
here's your problem.
Get some sobriety.
Yeah, well, I was working in the muffin shop, and then this is what he told me. I knew I was going to sleep with someone there. I just didn't know who.
Yeah. Amanda, you want to do a little gambling here?
I don't think we're going to get anything out of her.
The muffin shops.
Mercedes, I agree with Drew. Even though you're not drinking, sober up. All right? And stay away from this guy. And call us next time you're interested in a guy, and we'll tell you whether you can date him or not, okay?
Thanks, Adam.
All right, break up with this guy. Okay, baby, take care of yourself.
Thanks.
All right. Good night. All right, don't feel so bad. Listen.
Listen, unless she gets some big change in her life, she's going to make one mess after another.
I know, but here's what I want to say to all the troubled ladies out there. There's plenty of nice guys out there. There really are. They're guys who'll be dedicated.
She's not interested in those.
I know.
And that's what's got to change. It's what's going on in her brain.
I understand that, but don't act as if there's nobody out there for you. You don't want the ones that will commit to you, and that's the part of you you got to change. All right. Just checking on top of the refrigerator, Chris?
Yeah.
You're 16?
Yeah.
What's up?
All right, my girlfriend, she'll be wet during, foreplay and stuff, but then when we do, actual sex, she just kind of, dries up.
Now, why don't I hear virgin?
And I was wondering if that's normal.
Hey, we're not, right? You've not had sex with her, though.
No, we have, and that's when she, dries up.
How old is she?
17.
Mm-hmm.
And, liar, whore, you know it!
What year were you born?
86.
Mm-hmm. What month?
Huh?
What month?
February.
What grade are you in?
10th.
Mm-hmm.
God, I never had sex in grade 10.
No, he had it in 9, and then they held him back 3 years, so he's technically was still in the 9th grade.
Right.
Until he was 17, and then they kicked him out, but... No, I don't know what happened to him. Chris?
Yeah.
Okay. So you're having sex?
Yes.
How many times would you say you've had sex with her?
2.
Okay.
Mm. All right. So how would you know if she dried up? I mean...
Well, how would you know?
It happened both times.
How long were you doing this with her before she dried up?
Probably 5 minutes or so.
Does she seem uncomfortable?
No, we both enjoyed it, but...
Mm-hmm. Do you have the ceiling fan on? That happened to me once. He had that thing really, it was a crazy vortex. It went right into her vagina.
I'm not getting it.
I'm not getting it either.
No.
Well, I was just wondering if that was normal. Like,
oh, now I really, now.
Yeah. Sorry, Chris, we're going bogus on this one. Yeah. Sorry, buddy. We're not buying it.
It just doesn't feel
not working.
Not feeling it, Chris.
Not okay. feeling it.
Nice try.
Neither
what?
Is true.
What was that?
Okay, you can be a dumbass.
All right,
there
buddy.
We go. There we go. Thank you for showing us the cards.
It is so weird. I mean, he said he was 16. He got the math right on his age.
Yeah.
He was in the right grade. Said he had a girlfriend that was a year older. We get these calls all the time. Say, said he had sex twice.
But the affect wasn't
she
there.
She dried up. Was gone. It wasn't
just,
there.
It just wasn't, it's not, there was, that is not that person.
That was bogus.
Yeah, that was a bogus call.
And it took a while to compute because he kept coming up with the information. But
right.
That was
it's out of a book. Yeah.
What wasn't there.
Anyway, so if someone does dry up that age, they usually because they're anxious and probably shouldn't be doing that in the first place, especially after just 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And, oh, man, I just think
that
about
that guy was
him.
A virgin.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolute virgin.
Yeah. I mean, you wouldn't even notice.
Well, here's the thing.
Yeah, like,
first of all, you wouldn't even know if it was there.
Yeah. Here's the really, the 15-year-old, enthusiastic 15-year-old guy that was doing that for the first time, nothing else would occur to him. He wouldn't care if she turned into a maple leaf under him. You know what I mean?
Right.
You know, nothing would register except I'm having sex.
You know,
you become conscious about an hour later.
That's right. And you have nothing to compare it to, so there's no like, well, here's the problem, Doc.
It's really a 50-year-old guy's problem. You know?
Right. Right. Yeah, bogus. I felt it in my bones.
Yeah, me too.
Sarah?
Hi.
You're 18?
Yes.
All right, what's up?
Well, I have this problem. Guys are intimidated by me, and I don't know why.
Mm-hmm. Well, all right.
How tall are you?
I am 5'4".
What does that mean, intimidated? Describe to me a situation. How it would go down. Would you come up to a guy at a restaurant, a bar, at a party?
No, like my friends, like people I hang out with.
And what kind of interaction makes you feel like they're intimidated? Describe an interaction.
Okay, this Friday night, we went out and we were invited to a kegger. We went, everybody was drinking, everybody was happy. When we got ready to leave, I went over and I grabbed my boyfriend and I told him we had to go and we had to go now. And he looked at me like I was going to kill him.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of animal is that in the background?
Cockatiel.
That's a cockatiel.
Got him. Bing.
Were you going to kill him?
No, I wasn't. I was just like, we got to go. It's
no credit at all for
I
the
gave,
cockatiel
I gave
call.
It to you. I gave it.
Not by her. Not by Sarah, though. She was like, hey.
It's my cockatiel.
Yeah. he knows Sam. Sure.
Sarah, I don't understand what the intimidation is. Maybe you were just aggressive in how you approached it.
No, I just walked up. I said, Matt, we have to leave. It's 5 a.m. in the morning. Mm-hmm. Get your stuff.
5 a.m. at a kegger. How old are you?
I'm 18.
Mm-hmm.
And it was 5 a.m. in the morning. I was like, we have to go. It's like, my parents are going to kill me.
I guarantee you. First of all, I guarantee you didn't walk up and say it like that.
Yeah, I did.
No way.
Yeah.
No one would say that at 5 a.m. You would be like, I am exhausted. Let's go.
No, actually, I was wired.
Whatever, there would be an urgency, I'm sure, when you decided it's time to go now.
Were you doing speed?
No, I don't.
But the point is, I don't think you have a clear sort of self-concept as how you affect other people. If you come up to somebody and said, you know, let's get out of the blue, he'd been here partying all night, and all of a sudden you walked up to him, we're out of here. Oh, my God, I just got to go now.
Well, he called the designated driver. He's the one that called and said, come over, we need to leave. And it's like, and I went over and told him, we have to go. She's here waiting for us. Come on.
And his response was?
He backed away and he grabbed my arm. Like, he grabbed my arm and pushed me. And he was like, he had this, like, looked at it. I was like, can he hurt him? I was
well,
like,
he was loaded and he was probably doing some X or something.
No, actually, no.
Well, he was at a kegger and it was 5 a.m. He had to be blasted.
Give us another example.
Okay.
No, I don't want any more examples.
Listen,
screwball, how badly can you intimidate people when you have a boyfriend? I mean, how did you get the boyfriend if everyone's so intimidated?
I dated him, he asked me out like 3 days ago.
He's already your boyfriend?
Yeah.
He asked you out 3 days ago. How long ago was the kegger?
Friday. What's the day?
That was 4 days ago.
Okay, 4 days ago. He asked. Okay, 4 days.
So that was your first date?
Yeah.
How could you call him your boyfriend if that was your first date?
I don't know. I live in Montana.
All right, hold
yeah,
on
Sarah,
a second.
You just got some kind of social ineptitude.
I love that answer. I
wait a minute. Was she homeschooled? Let's see. Was she homeschooled?
I don't
Adam?
Think there's school. Is it?
Check it out.
I don't think there's any school
there's just
going
like
on.
Just like social, there. Just emptiness here.
All right.
Sarah? Did you go to high school?
I did in the ninth grade, and then my parents pulled me out.
No, Drew.
Thank you.
Yeah. She says, as impressed at that guess as me getting the cockatiel. Yeah. So you didn't have a lot of contact then with kids your age and your peer group.
Well, I hung out with everybody that I went to school with, and
okay.
We went and did everything that I would have done if I would have been in school.
Is there anything, do you need to tell us anything else about your history? Do you have bipolar illness or anything like that?
I don't know. I haven't been diagnosed.
Oh, yeah. Drew's going with yes. Hey, Sarah, and is this guy your boyfriend now?
I think so. I don't know.
Well, you've been going out for 3 days, and you were at a party with him 4 days ago, and you said it's time to leave at 5 a.m., and he looked at you like he didn't know you because he didn't know you.
And here's the thing about hypomania is that people do not experience themselves as intrusive, but everyone else does. And you may have that quality going on here.
They got an anniversary coming up.
Yeah, they got their 5-dayer coming up. I think that's gold or platinum. I can't remember what it is, but it's a big one. He better not drop the ball. He better get her like a diamond ring and a salt lick for the cockatiel.
Well, he probably was trying to figure who is she.
This is bad judgment, social sort of immaturity, and maybe some bipolar and maybe some substance.
A little bit.
You add that all together and you get
a little bit
weird.
Delusional too.
You get a weird situation.
And the guy at 5 a.m. is probably looking at her like, "Do I know you?
Yeah, who's that lizard talking to me?"
And you gotta wonder why the folks pulled her out of the school in the ninth grade too.
Thank you.
There's
you
something.
Check that?
I don't know if we're gonna get a straight answer to that, Sarah.
Yeah.
Why did your folks pull you out of school in the ninth grade?
Because we kept moving.
And so they decided to homeschool you?
Yeah. Okay. And I've been homeschooled since I was, they've on and off since I was sixth grade.
Okay.
Why do they keep moving?
I don't know.
One step ahead of the law.
Yeah.
Okay.
You don't know why your parents were moving?
No, I don't. It's like we moved like either somewhere between 6 months and a year. We moved to a different place.
And you never asked why?
It wasn't my place, I didn't think.
Yeah, but did your dad get transferred, you know, from his job, or is he in the Army or Navy or something
no,
like that?
He's a roughneck. He's works on a widowmaker.
Oh, yeah. Do you look a lot like your parents, or
he's
not at all?
Roughneck. He's an oil man. Does oil stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah. See, I'm hip with the terminology.
So he goes from rig to rig kind of thing?
Yeah.
Well it kind of... He works in one place for so long, and then they move.
All right, I'm writing this down.
Does he cook amphetamines in a kitchen and then move the kitchen?
No, so they get evicted because of the bird noise.
Yeah.
All right, listen, Sarah. How about talking? I think you need to talk to a psychiatrist or a psychologist. And that man or woman is going to help you, all right?
Oh, really?
Yeah, because there's issues here.
There's something up here.
There's issues, okay?
Okay.
What's
I didn't think there was any issues. I go out and I have fun.
Why'd you call if you didn't think there's any issues?
Well, because I don't understand it.
That's
an issue, and someone can help you with that.
The only thing that I can understand why they would be intimidated by me.
Well, if they don't know you and it's 5 a.m. at the kegger, they would be intimidated. And what's the bird's name?
Joey.
All right.
Joey and Pikachu.
You and Pikachu? Joey and Pikachu go talk to a psychiatrist, all right?
Okay, Adam.
All right, baby.
Oh.
These birds are the world's worst pets. I cannot stand birds. They're horrible, horrible creatures, birds. Let me say this about birds. I've brought this up before, but it bears being brought up again. The birds are not nice animals. People give birds a pretty good, you know, they give them the benefit of the doubt, like, they're majestic beasts and stuff. Birds are louder than hell. First off, they're always circling around my house, the crows, and all they do is cramp on everything and sort of argue amongst themselves. Birds just sort of fight. And if you get a bird as a pet, It just there makes these horrible noises all day long. And then once every 6 months, you put your hand in to try to get them off the perch, and it bites you. And even if you've had the bird for 5 years, you put your hand in the bird. The first move is to bite, and the people who own the bird just kind of keep pushing their hand in there like, oh, no, no, no. And then it gets on the person's shoulder, and, like, people want you to make friends with the bird, except for the goddamn bird bites you when you put your hand to it. So it's like people are like, no, no, don't touch it from behind. No, just put some food on yourself. Forget the birds.
Dr. Drew,
they're horrible creatures.
We have to do an intervention.
He was traumatized by a bird when he was 3.
I see that. Yeah.
I like the idea that dinosaurs, birds are evolved from the dinosaur. That was the demeanor of dinosaur, basically.
I was raped by the Busch Gardens eagle when I was 9 and a half.
And then he had an ostrich thing happen when he was 14.
Well, that I brought on myself.
I know.
That I was asking
Adam,
for.
Adam, don't talk about that on the air.
Okay. All right, Tommy Chong in our studio tonight. We'll take a quick break, and we'll be right back. Hey, everybody. Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Drew. Tommy Chong is in the studio tonight. Mm-hmm. Cypress Hill tomorrow night. Everlast the night after that. Smokeout coming up this Saturday, 3 p.m., 2 a.m. at the Memorial Coliseum. Don't hear the memorial part so much anymore.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. Haven't done that one for a long time.
Does SC play there?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
But I think the SC-UCLA game next week is at the Rose Bowl.
Big game.
Yes, Rose Bowl? Yeah, Rose Bowl.
Whatever.
All right. Anderson, not a big sports fan. Tommy is not only is on the cover of Guitar One magazine. If you count the edge of the covers,
the names on
the inside.
Fold it out, and I'm there.
And also, if you want any information about him or his bongs or his exhibits or any of these kind of things.
Water pipes. Water bottles.
Is this you blowing glass, or is that you using one of your...
We're lighting up a big...
With a tobacco pipe.
The tobacco pipe.
It looks like he's blowing a...
Drew's referring to a card that is on the table. That's with a very interesting painting of...
Yeah. Did you do the painting?
Is that you?
No. I had a... Hippie did it, and then we killed him.
Yeah, well, that's why you should be taking credit.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah. That's mine now, you know.
www.tommychong.com. Did you have to buy that domain name back from somebody?
No, I've always had it.
Really? That's smart.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a question for Tommy from Ernest, who's 17. Ernie?
Yeah.
What's up?
Hey, Adam, what's up?
What's up?
Hey, what you doing, man?
You know, just chilling.
And the hizzy wizzy pizzy. How did we do last night?
What does Snoop say? You and Drew kick ass?
Thank you.
How's Snoop say that?
And hizzle for chisel, dizzle.
Snoop for chisel, dizzle.
Yeah.
Chong.
Yeah.
Hey, what's up?
Well, the smoke out.
Yeah, your movies kick ass, Cheech. You know that already.
Ernest, do you have a question?
Yeah.
Yeah, I got a question.
All right, here we go.
Yeah, my question is if you're going to be in any of the new 70s Show episodes.
Actually, I'm working on my own show. We did a little contract talk about the 70 Show this season. They had me as a regular. Right. They had me doing all the advertisements and that. And so I felt like, in the Dickens thing where the guy walks up and said, more gruel.
Right.
I walked up and said, more paycheck.
Right.
And they said, nah. They couldn't afford it. So yeah, I'm not going to be on the... I'm not going to be on the 70 Show, I don't think, ever. Again.
A little bad blood there.
No, not really. No, not on my part. I really enjoyed the show. I loved the kids and everything,
No pay, no play?
Yeah, that's it,
So you're going to... What are you doing? Are you working on a pilot or an idea for a pilot or something like that?
We pitched an idea to Comedy Central. It's... it really is pretty funny. It's about me trying to, get a show. So I'm trying all the different genres.
Right.
And then we present it to a studio head.
Would it be a reality thing where you actually...
Or is it scripted? It's scripted reality, where I'm trying to...
What's the other show?
Larry David. Similar to Larry David.
Yeah, Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Similar to that, except it shows me trying to pitch my ideas to networks and doing all this stuff, especially the dope smoking where they
go, great idea.
Can't show that.
I had a great idea for a sitcom just yesterday that I'm going to give to you.
Okay.
because you got a little more juice than I do.
I'll take it.
Now, you got to get past the name. It's called AIDS Butler, but with two T's. Two T's, by the way. But here's the premise.
Butler?
Here's the premise, and I think it's a strong one. And you guys are laughing now, but when you hear this premise, you're going to realize this is something special.
Okay.
They have these things called viatical settlements or agreements, which is, and they went on. There's a whole big thing about this about 5-8 years ago.
Viatical?
Yes. It's a legal term. Now, here's the thing. You know it, Drew. When you have a life insurance policy,
right,
you can sell that life insurance policy.
Right.
For instance, if you have AIDS.
Yes. Right.
If you're in advanced stages of some disease that is going to cure. Okay, so let's say I got 18 months to live or 2 years to live. Let's say it's 10 years ago and I got full-blown AIDS.
Okay.
And, you know.
This is a comedy?
Oh, sure.
No, yeah. Well, it's got an itch. Stay with me.
It's in a concentration camp.
Tom, I've asked you not to judge until you hear the full pitch.
Go ahead.
AIDS Butler. Okay. Again, two T's. So, this guy's got the full-blown AIDS, right?
Yeah. He's a butler?
Well, not yet. Okay. Not yet. Come on, Drew. Let me finish the pitch. And he makes one of these viatical settlements where he sells an old Jewish couple who live in Phoenix, who've retired in Phoenix, his $1 million policy. They give him $600,000. They get the $1 million policy.
Right.
And you figure this guy's going to kick off in a couple of years, and the old retired couple will get their nest egg back. But he uses the money, and he starts buying like AZT and the triple cocktail and all of these medications that prolong his life. And then all these breakthroughs come through scientifically. And the next thing you know, it's not a death sentence anymore.
Right, right.
And this actually, these cases happen.
I'm just imagining the opening montage.
Yeah. Great scenario. Guy's getting cornholed or maybe he's just slamming heroin or something.
Then smiling with the AZT. He's got the sores on his head.
We'll work out the beats later.
Yeah. I think it's exciting.
Okay, so now here's where it starts taking a twist. So this old couple who's living in Phoenix and gave all their money, their nest egg money, to this guy who they thought was going to die in 2 years, and now it's going on 8-9 years. They're running out of money. They got no retirement money left. And they're old and ain't getting any younger, and they can't afford their bills or their help anymore. Yeah. And this guy's saying, screw you. You gave me the money, you'll get it when I die, and I ain't going to die for a good long time.
So they put a hit on
him. So they take him to court.
Take him to court.
Yeah. And they say to the judge, hey, we gave this guy the money. And the judge says, all right.
Yeah, he didn't keep up his end of the bargain. He didn't die.
You got to give the money back. And the guy says, I spent all the money. And the judge says, all right, then I force you to be his butler. Now the AIDS guy has to be their servant. He has to move to Phoenix.
You got
to
work on that language a little bit. That didn't quite ring.
AIDS guy?
Yeah,
well, AIDS butler?
You got to be their butler. No.
No, okay. But he's saying, what the judge is saying, if you can't give the money back to these old people,
you got to work it off.
And you don't have any money to provide for them, and they can't provide for themselves, and they need things taken care of. They're elderly. They need house cleaning. They need to be cleaned and wiped and taken care of and all that kind of stuff.
This would be David Alan Greer, the butler?
Yes, maybe.
Yes.
Don't jinx it. I'm going to talk to David this week. I'll see him this weekend. I'm going to pitch. Let me do the pitching, though, Drew. Okay, so he then has to move in with this elderly Jewish couple in Phoenix.
And be their man.
But this guy is over the top. He dresses to the nines. He smokes the European cigarettes that are colored pastel. You know, he wears the ascots. And they suspect he's got the money socked away somewhere. So every time he leaves, they're searching around.
Oh, yeah.
They're searching around. Meanwhile, they want him to die, but they can't kill him. They can't kill him because everyone will know what happened. But they're saying things like, oh, it's a warm night. Don't bother taking the sweater. Smoke another cigarette. Should I make another cocktail? They're trying to get this guy a push over. Then the grandkids come to stay for the summer, and he's gaying up the kids.
Oh.
Now, he's not molesting him or anything, but he's teaching a boy how to walk with a book on his head and you know, that kind of stuff, posture, that sort of thing. It's nonstop comedy.
He's whipping up
daiquiris in the kitchen and stuff.
There'll be a cast of characters. The local pharmacist where he gets his AZT.
Right.
Mr. Drucker.
This guy's always throwing these crazy gay parties. When they come back, 2 days early for being out of town. And all the hilarity doesn't stop. It never ends.
I'd like to film the pitch whenever you decide to pitch that to one of the studio heads.
I think I could.
We always wish we could have had a film of the pitch of like Gilligan's Island, Hogan's Heroes. It's in a concentration camp. It's hysterical.
I see AIDS Butler, CBS, Sunday nights. 9:30, something like that.
CBS?
Yeah, I'm off the top of my head. I'm not saying we won't give it to another network. I'm saying like the start
not
with
Fox,
CBS.
Huh?
I'd like to see if we get CBS, yeah, and I'm pretty sure we could.
They need a hit, though.
Yeah, yeah, and they want to skew a little younger, a little gayer. Well, this is everyone. This is the gays. This is the AIDS people. This is the old people. Blacks love this kind of humor. Yeah, if we get David Alan Greer in there, we got the blacks. Oh, this is great.
Oh,
okay,
man.
All right, so...
it's incredible.
Yeah, Tommy, fire up the camera and watch me pitch this bit.
I'd love it, man.
AIDS Butler. Yeah. Two T's and a little dash between the lure, you know, the butt and the lure.
The key is you got to go into the executives without them knowing that it's a...
Oh, no, you got to...
It's a pitch.
Yeah, like, yeah. They'll sit there and give you compliments.
You guys are kidding, but it's a decent idea.
Get Tom Hanks, do a sort of a cameo. You know?
Yeah. All the celebrities be lining up to get in this thing.
Oh, yeah.
John?
AIDS Butler.
John, you're 25.
Yeah.
Yeah, what'd you think of my idea, AIDS Butler?
I think he's pretty freaky.
Thanks, John. Buddy. Thanks,
I wouldn't let that guy near my kids at all.
All right, Jesus Christ.
You wouldn't let David Alan Greer near? All right, Mark, go ahead.
All right, what's up?
I was just wondering if... Chung remembers the old record him and Cheats produced with the joint size, the full record joint size. He tore the record cover in both halves.
No, I don't remember that.
Just two joints.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Yeah, it's been a while, so... Yeah,
It was one of the original ones.
Oh, okay.
It was like the second record you guys put out.
No, I don't really remember that one. We did one called Big Bamboo with papers in there. I don't remember ripping them.
I don't remember if I have the right name on it. I probably have the name mixed up.
How old are you?
I'm 25.
25. Where are you from?
I'm from Seattle.
What's the name you remember?
Well, I don't know. Me and my friends, we were having a party and we ran.
What's the name you remember? What's the name? Just spit it out.
It was Cheech and Chong High Time.
Yeah, that. Yeah, I remember
right.
We did a magazine called High Times once.
Cool. But we were just running. He had like a whole stack, the whole collection of your old records, basically.
Yeah, and that
we were listening to all of them.
Did you like them?
Yeah, they were awesome. We had this big stash, and we pulled the one out, and it had half the paper left in it.
I know.
And his father smoked it.
Yeah.
And us young bucks, we smoked that like it was from the 60s.
Man.
John, what's this have to do with AIDS Spotlight?
Whoa! You're bringing tears to my eyes.
Oh, and by the way, thanks, Johnny.
I'm just letting the man know he still had a joint out there.
All right, but you smoking a lot there, John, or drinking, or?
No, I smoke.
There's another non-tracker here.
Yeah, all right, hey, buddy.
Disconnect.
Thanks for calling. What do you do? What kind of forklift do you drive for a living?
I don't drive a forklift. I blow glass.
All right.
I own...
That's weird. Blow glass, really?
Yeah.
Hold on. Glass is the last name of a friend of his. It's Bob Glass. Gives him 20 bucks each time he gets a BJ.
This could be one of the guys at the party.
Well,
We've
had a few.
Do you make bongs?
No, I make water pipes and really intricate stuff.
Oh, okay. But you don't make bongs. You just make water pipes.
No, I make bongs.
Yeah, okay. All right, bud. Shocking. What is it? Is it non-tracking night? Like we're talking to adult? We're talking to adults or American adults?
Glassblowers from Seattle are sort of notorious.
But Steve, John was not our first disconnected adult.
No, I have that effect, man. I'm sorry.
Maybe it could be Tommy.
I think it's a Chung effect. That happens.
Let me.
I got a lot of THC in my voice.
Hizzle for shizzle, dizzle.
Let me pitch an episode I just thought of for AIDS Butler.
All right.
He claims he's eligible to grow his own marijuana because of his condition.
Of course. No, right? They're from one of the triples. Yeah.
Right, so he wants to grow himself a big pot plant in the backyard of the couple who are absolutely staunch.
They're in Arizona.
Yeah, and they're Republican, and they don't want... And the dog ends up eating it. She has a poodle. She has a poodle that she loves named Sushi. And Sushi eats one of the huge buds and just freaks out one episode. Huh?
Do you know what I mean about my voice?
Halfway home with this AIDS. It's like I have the first 10 episodes written in my head.
All you need is a T-shirt. I don't see the T-shirt yet.
It's maybe we're getting close.
Thing okay. with the cross through it. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. I think the U from the butler is ass cheeks.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
She, yeah. yeah. Is that good?
That's Rochelle.
Hi.
What's up?
Before I get to my question, I just wanted to ask Sean a question.
Sure, babe.
We went and saw you at the Punchline in Sacramento, you and your wife.
Oh, yeah.
My husband, and you autographed the bong for my husband.
Uh-huh.
And he wore your signature off.
He did.
And I hit it. Do you think I should give it back to him?
We're not following.
No, yeah, give it back to him.
Why'd you hide it if he'd already worn the signature?
Because I wanted him to keep the signature on it. Well, it's halfway off.
Almost was.
I see.
Well, you know, next time I see you, I'll redo the signature for
okay.
you.
Okay.
Right.
Or better yet, you can buy, probably get a new one, and it'll have the signature on.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, listen, Tommy, you can't sign so close to the carb, because that's where the traffic zone is.
I try it. Sometimes they're left-handed, though, you know.
Well, you pressed on it for him a little bit, so that's made it special.
Right, Rochelle, hang on a second.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. What do you think of my sitcom idea, Rochelle?
I liked it.
Thank you. Thank you. That's a smart woman there. Husband wore the... That's like, I wouldn't say this guy smokes a lot of weed, but I'll tell you this, he wore Tommy Chong's autograph off his bong. It's like a punchline.
It happens, though. It's one of the, you know, the dangers of smoking.
Well, yeah, a celebrity has its trampings, I guess.
Oh, man. But, you know, I'm coping with it okay.
We will, we'll take ourselves a little break. We'll let Tommy, we'll have a few moments to himself to get back in shape after having his name rubbed off a bong that way, sort of unceremonious.
No, I'm still thinking of AIDS Butler.
Okay, you get out a steno pad. We're going to hammer out some beats here, and we'll be back after this. Hey, everybody, Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Drew. Tommy Chong in the studio tonight. And Tommy's going to be at the Smokeout this Saturday, along with Cypress Hill and Everlast and Snoop Dogg and Edema and all the people that have either been on this show this week or going to be on this show
it's
later this
week. It's a Smokeout show.
Yeah, and it's going to be hell going out on that stage with all those Heshers out in the audience.
You know, I flew up to Oregon once with Cypress Hill. Mm-hmm. We just happened to be on the same plane. Those guys... I mean, they're serious about their pop, boy. They cannot get out. They land. They're like, okay, now where to go? I mean, they start asking people as soon as they walk into the airport.
Can't they eat pot brownies or something on the plane?
Oh, it's too powerful.
They just like what they want.
Too scary.
They want the. It's like looking for the local. Where?
Right.
Where do we go? Where do we go?
In Portland. Well, in Portland is really. A
where do you go? You go outside.
Smoking city.
Immediately.
that's why they're Cypress Hill.
Whole business.
Tommy, you've had some bad experiences with brownies before?
Yeah.
Yeah. They freak you out a little bit, right?
Oh, you can stay high for like 2-3 days. You can sleep, wake up, and you're high. It's horrible.
Yeah. Brownies,
Cheech got so high one time eating hash in Paris that we went to a restaurant and he never ordered food. I mean, that's serious.
That's high.
Oh, he forgot to order food. I mean, for Cheech, if you know Cheech, man, it was like, whoa, that's never happened. We almost called him an ambulance. We called an ambulance for him.
I've never been so high that I forgot to eat. I'll eat straw high.
Do you smoke? No.
But we're learning a lot about, in fact, there's some studies come out right now about what makes you eat when you're on pot. It
right.
looks like it may not just be the... insulin effects, that there may be something about the part of our brain that needs satisfaction food, you know, tender, caretaking food.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like that we eat to nurture kind of thing.
To satisfy.
That's why we eat that kind of food. It's mm-hmm. not just to get the high calorie. It's really the gratifying food that we go after.
Yeah,
is that
yeah.
part of the brain may be stimulated by the thought.
But isn't it also when you get altered, you sort of decide... I mean, you get drunk and a chili burger at 3 a.m. seems like a good idea.
No, I was just I got to review this data again, but there was some stuff that in animals that suggested the kind of food was more sort of nurturing food.
Yeah.
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 All right.
Happy peanut butter.
Yeah, yeah.
Sweet.
yeah, you do. You revert. I mean, you're in the sixth grade all of a sudden. Yeah, and you're high.
Right.
You want to get some? I'll get some peanut butter. I'll sprinkle some M&Ms on it and some Cheetos.
And then
this
you eat it, and then right away you want another one. You can never get enough.
You always know
you're the salt. You go for the salt.
You know you're high when you're not halfway into the first sandwich and you've already laid plans for the second one. Like, you ever do that when you're eating? You're planning on your next piece, your next slice, your next...
I like it when you're over at the folks' house or the in-laws and you're halfway through the meal and they haven't said grace yet. That's a little embarrassing.
I always do a thing where I want to start eating, but then everyone else waits for everyone else to start eating. Yeah. I'm always the first. I make that first move. Rochelle?
Yeah?
You're 19?
Yeah. Okay, my question was, I smoked a lot of weed when I was in high school, and I did mushrooms a couple months ago, and I had a bad trip, and it kind of freaked me out, and I've kind of not wanted to smoke weed, because every time that I do, I don't know, I just kind of get weirded out, like I'm really paranoid, all like right. more than I ever was before.
But well, then definitely don't smoke?
Yeah, that tends to happen with pot. Eventually, in many cases, not everybody, but it's a common thing.
But at 19, it's not a cumulative thing.
And it can be precipitated by other things. Well, listen, I've seen people get that after five episodes smoking pot. They suddenly get all this anxiety and panic from it.
It happens. But
it happens, yeah.
Most people sort of can tell their first few times out whether they're in for it or not in for it. And I have friends that have no problem with any drugs, but pot just ain't their...
Yeah, that's right.
Ain't their
kind
bag.
Yeah, because it's like everybody else I know, they're like, they knew me before, and now it's like every time I'm like turning away or I'm making an excuse, and they're like, what's wrong with you? And
well, it's
really
not...
Really, because I'm afraid to do it.
It's not going to go back to the way it was.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's just the way it makes you react, and you're going to have to stay
and away. And it's the mushrooms that
the mushroom, again, it's a biology that opens up that's not really understood yet. And bad trips from hallucinogens are good because then you don't do so much hallucinogen and then you don't hurt your brain.
Yeah, because I did acid before and it didn't do nothing.
Well, but it will.
Acid is supposed to be more harsh than mushrooms.
In terms of the damaging effects, certainly they are. But there's something about pot that can be turned on this way where it becomes more and more anxiety-provoking and finally panic ensues.
Let's talk to Keith, who's 21. Keith?
Yeah, I got a question for you guys.
Mm-hmm.
I've been dating this girl for about a month. I've known her for a little longer than that. And after we started officially going out, I found out that she was pregnant, not by me, but by someone previous to me.
Yeah.
She then told me that she had a miscarriage approximately 2 weeks into the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And now... we moved kind of fast and we had anal sex. Well, apparently when I started to pull out, I kind of drizzled down a little bit.
Sure, sure.
Drizzle, fizzle, fizzle.
Yeah. All right.
She says I ended up in her, and she thinks she's pregnant now. So my question is, A, does a woman ovulate after a miscarriage in the first month?
And B, pretty rare.
And B... Is that really possible?
No.
To get pregnant that way?
Really?
Hizzle for shizzle, dizzle.
Really unlikely.
Really?
Really unlikely. The whole setup is unlikely.
Do you
not impossible, but unlikely.
Do you not believe her, or do you? Is she
well, I want out of the relationship pretty much because I feel like it's all been a bunch of lies.
Yeah. Plus, you've done the anal thing, so where do you go? Nowhere to go but down. you've peaked.
Turned into a bummer.
Yeah.
Well, it just feels like that. She just tells me all these things, and you know.
Oh, okay. So I would work under the. Now, how do you know she's not pregnant from some non-anal adventure you may have had?
That which is another thing that I have to worry about. If she is pregnant, you know, I want to be tactful with this.
Well, did you have unprotected sex with her?
That was not anal.
No, we've only had anal.
Well, I'd say chivalry is not dead in this country. A lot of people say that young men do not know how to treat a young lady anymore. I say callers like Keith are a beacon, a testament to those naysayers. Just anal. God bless you, Keith. As an old-fashioned guy, What are you Mormon? What are you sing in the choir? I think you're one of these guys who puts on a sport coat to fly, right?
Reverend Keith.
Yeah.
No, ironically, we didn't have sex. We just had anal sex because I didn't want to get her pregnant.
Right.
Well, that's a good reason.
Right.
Nice try.
I've been just working the BJ angle with that, but now I got to step it up. You're right.
Which I might add, I like your sitcom idea.
Thank you. Thank you. All right. Keith, I'm glad Keith doesn't want to have kids, by the way. Let me say that. Secondly, this girl's starting to freak him out, and maybe rightfully so. She just got over a relationship, had a miscarriage. Now she's got the anal thing going with Keith.
Yeah.
Maybe not someone you look long-term with.
No.
All right, so his instincts are right.
Yes.
And I would assume if she claims she's pregnant, she's probably lying until proven otherwise.
Correct.
All right. Well, the dribble effect, I don't know.
It's technically possible.
Unlikely.
Yeah.
But highly unlikely. Sam?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good, good.
I called a couple of months ago about my...
Hold on a second. It's going to be a great story for the kid, though. Dad, was I planned? Well, if you got to know that God's honest, son, Emil, and it's funny that I named you that, because I was nailing your mom in the ass and pulled out, you know.
Prematurely.
Apparently there was a pretty good wind coming in from the south. Probably my fault for not drawing
the
drapes.
Quick,
but,
yeah.
Yeah, just one of those things. But the point is, we love you, but you're not getting that moped. If
Sam,
quick.
Sam, real quick, what's up?
Hey, I called a couple of months ago about my basement and stinking, but this is a different thing. Actually, I ended up kicking my sister out, and I built a glass shop in the basement. And actually, I've noticed in the paper, not recently, but that there's been advertising for glass blowers, and actually, it's been, like, in Tommy's name. Like, he's been advertising for glass blowers, and I was wondering what that was all about.
Well, we have a company called Chong Glass, and we have a factory out in Gardena, and we were advertising for glass blowers. I don't think we are anymore.
No,
we're full up. So, we have a lot of Hispanic glass blowers.
But is there glass farting?
Hi.
Can you do glass farting? Because I would like to. I'd like to do that. Like I do like a fart sculpture.
A little dangerous.
So you heat it up. You just put the tube up the anus.
Well, no, that's a little dangerous.
All right, I think
you don't want to do that unprotected.
Hold on, I have another great sitcom idea. Ass glass blower.
Glass blower.
And we'll work on this. It's a superhero type thing. Just hear me out. All right. Well, that's the show. I gotta talk to Tommy about AIDS Butler. Then I got about an hour with Tommy's son talking about that home run catch again. So I'm
going to second show, Ask Glass Blower.
And let's plug
Ask Glass Blower. Yeah.
Let's plug Precious.
Yeah, it's going to be at the Zephyr Theater.
Wednesdays. Every Wednesday.
Every Wednesday.
And I'm going to be there this Wednesday.
One woman show.
She just rags on the whole family. She's really funny. It's incredible. People are going back to see it over and over and over again.
And that's every Wednesday at the Zephyr on Melrose in Los Angeles. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo. Yeah, is my name on your tennis show?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. You betcha.
This has been Loveline. Opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins Engel. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.